Today is a special day. It's a special day for a couple reasons. For my family, it's special in that it's the first Lord's Day after our son Austin was baptized yesterday, and so we are excited about that news, and I congratulate him, and I know that that you're going to be a great encouragement to him as he grows up as a Christian, as you have been to us. And it's a new exciting day and special day for another reason, in that it's our Friends Night in the Park this evening. And it's one of our big seven outreaches that we're trying to do this year. It's one of the last ones of this year. And so be thinking about who you can invite to come and worship with us. It's in a friendly environment. It's a environment where we're going to, where people feel comfortable to come to at a park. It's also going to be a meal involved. We're going to offer hot dogs and chips, and we need you to bring cookies and brownies, and we'll supply the drinks and things to go with that. And we'll start eating at 5. We're going to have worship at 6 underneath the main pavilion there at Kess Creek Park. We need you to come out and be there and bring people with you. Also, if you have the Seven Oaks t-shirts, wear those t-shirts tonight as well to help identify. So visitors and things, if they have questions, will know. And people in the park will know who we are. We want to try to get anybody in the park to come up there and get to meet us and get to know our church family. And so we're excited about that this evening, beginning at 5 o'clock and worship at 6 o'clock at Kess Creek Park. We're continuing our series this morning that we're doing most of September and October on church leadership, with the view of applying it to our church family here and looking at adding additional men in service to our King here at Seven Oaks. And last week we talked about the overview of church leadership and looked at elders and their role in general, and deacons and their role in general, and then evangelists. Just an overview. But this morning we want to look more specifically, in the next three lessons we're going to be looking more specifically at the work of an elder. This morning the work of an elder, and then the next two lessons, the qualifications that Paul and the Holy Spirit gives for elders. First of all, when we think about the work of an elder, I want to suggest to you, and all of our thoughts this morning are going to be shaped around the idea that they are shepherds. And the main emphasis throughout the text, as I thought about it this week and went back over the text, the most common and primary description of their work is that they are shepherds. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, when Paul is listing off the gifts that Christ gave to the church, he says that one of those gifts that he gave to the church are pastors. And of course, pastors is in reference to shepherds. They are to shepherd. It's the only time in the New Testament that we see them referred to by the noun form pastor or shepherd. But the other times, Acts chapter 20, 1 Peter chapter 5, we find this same term used, but it's in a verb. They are to do the work of shepherding. They are to be shepherds who do the work of shepherding. So it's the most common and primary description of their work. It's also significant that when you look through the pages of Holy Writ, you think about from the Old and the New Testament, you see that the shepherd analogy is one that's commonly used. For example, God is often described as the shepherd of Israel in the Old Testament. Here's just a few examples. For example, tonight I'll be preaching from Psalm 23 out at the park and what Jesus means to me. And when we look at that psalm, but that psalm is about how God is the shepherd of Israel, and David is talking about it in that context. So are other psalms like chapter 78, Psalm 95, and Psalm 100. God is described as the shepherd of Israel. And Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. He talks about how he knows his flock, and his flock knows his voice. And he describes himself as the good shepherd. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4, the passage that was read earlier, we read that Jesus is described as the chief or first shepherd. He is the chief shepherd that the elders as shepherds are to look into. So Jesus is described as a shepherd. Therefore, it's not surprising that when we want to study about the work of elders, the work of shepherds in God's kingdom, that this is a common analogy that when God chose a description, when God chose an analogy to use, He went back to one that was common in their culture, one of them being a shepherd, and the one that was common in the history of Israel, and that is one that the people could understand. In fact, when you study the Bible, you'll find out that kings, priests, rulers, and prophets are all referred to in different ways as shepherds. It's one of the most common analogies used. And so when God comes to the leader of His people today, the church, He uses this same analogy. Now, the challenge we have today in the 21st century is that we're not like Israel living in Palestine, who had flocks of literal sheep, and we all watched ancient Near East shepherds do their work with shepherd's hook and care for the sheep and all the things that went on with the actual tending of sheep. So we miss out on some of the analogy. But we understand, because we've studied some of that analogy and we understand some of the roles of a shepherd, we can still understand. But we have to do our best to try to go back and try to understand the analogy and to try to apply it to today. So I want to look at what the Scripture says about their work of shepherding. And I have 3 points. First of all, they are to be connected to the chief shepherd. That is, they are to be spiritual men. When we think about the work of an elder, we think about his role and their role in the church. They are to be men who are spiritual. In Acts chapter 6, when we often think about the apostles appointing some special servants, sometimes we think about these men as possibly the first deacons, or maybe they were going to serve in some kind of capacity as shepherds or elders in the church there, but it's not designated exactly what it is. But what's key for our study in verse 4, the apostle said that they are going to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And when they said this, it pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. We find out in verse 3 that they were to pick out from among them 7 men of good repute, good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. The kind of men that were to be selected to be leaders in the church there in Jerusalem were to be spiritual men. Men who were full of the Holy Spirit. Men who were of good reputation. Men who were wise in their counsel and in their devotion to God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul, in talking to the elders there at Ephesus, will make this statement. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock." The work of the elder first begins by looking at their own life. Just like all of us as Christians, we want to be seeking to grow closer to our Lord. And the work of an elder begins by taking careful attention to themselves, paying careful attention to their own life. You see, they are to be spiritual men. That is, they are to be men of prayer. When we think about the work of an elder, they are to be men who pray. In James chapter 5, when James is asking rhetorically the question, "Is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." Elders are to be men of prayer that the church looks to pray for them and on their behalf. You see, they are to be spiritual men, men of prayer. They are to be men of the word, like David, who was the shepherd of Israel. David, who grew up being a shepherd boy and went on to be the king and shepherd of Israel. He wrote great psalms like Psalm 119, where every verse refers back to the word of God and to the law of the Lord. David loved the word. The work of the elder begins with being a spiritual man himself, loving the word of God, loving prayer, and being devoted to prayer. You see, he is connected to the chief shepherd.
That is, they value the church over themselves. In 1 Peter
chapter 5, Peter uses the term that they are to be a shepherd over the flock of God. It's not their flock. Elders do not own the church. Elders are not the ones who own the church. It is God's church. And elders, they value the church over themselves. Elders are willing and able and capable of serving and desire to serve, mostly not for any self-gain for themselves or reputation or admonition that they might get out of it, because let me assure you, and you can talk to our brothers who lead us here, that they receive much more anxiety and worry and stress, that it puts a lot of pressure on them. Why do they do it? They do it because they value the church. See, a work of an elder is to say, it's not about me. It's about what's good for the church. And you know, that's what all of us should be saying. And that's not just the role of elders, but that's what the preacher and that's what the members should be about too, is that it's about what's good for the body, what's good for the church. And it's not our church per se. It is the Lord's church. And so when the elders make decisions about this facility or about the contribution or about the work of the church, the classrooms, that the teaching that goes on in our church, they're concerned because it's the Lord's church. And they value that church over themselves. And so they seek to mature the church. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, as we talked about last week, to speak the truth in love and to help the church to grow up to be all things so that every part of the church can do its part, so that it may grow up to the fullness of Christ. You see, the elders are focused upon helping the church grow spiritually and physically, making sure it is maturing and we're closer to Jesus today than we were yesterday. What am I trying to say about this first point? That the work of a shepherd begins by always being connected to the chief shepherd. And so it's not about men who lead us being great businessmen, though they may. It's not about them being successful in the earth or world standards. But chiefly, being a successful elder comes down to, are you connected with the chief shepherd? Are you someone who loves and values his work and cares for the church? You see, they are connected to the chief shepherd. But number two, they lead. They lead the flock of God. In John chapter 10, which we'll turn to now, in John chapter 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And if he's the chief shepherd, he gives us a model for shepherds over our congregation. And he says in verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. For a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See, Jesus says that he lays down his life. He loves and cares for his flock.
Notice that the good shepherd leads and knows his sheep. You see, the work of an elder is to be the work of knowing and caring for members. You see, he guides his sheep. Jesus spoke about how he would lead his sheep. So the work of an elder, as the work with the local church, is to guide and to know the flock of God and to lead them. When you think about this work, it involves this concept that we talk about in 1 Peter chapter 5 of leading the sheep, but not driving them. You see, Peter says in chapter 5, verse number 2, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering, not being a lord over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Peter says that you're to lead them through your example, and that you're not to try to drive them, or that you can't by compulsion make them. In fact, in many ways we talk about how Jesus invites people to follow him, and the good shepherd invites people to follow, and so the work of an elder invites people to follow his example. Now certainly we need to understand that Peter is talking about their example. Sometimes I think as church members, people, they want to put elders up and they want to forget sometimes. And they want to be very sometimes accusatory of them. And we need to understand that the work of an elder is a work of a man. Just like a preacher, just like other people, none of us are perfect. And that what Peter says here is that they are to be examples. And the word there is a type or pattern. That they are to be a pattern for the flock to follow. And that through their love of God, through their spiritual lives, and through their lives they have lived, and we'll talk about this more with their qualifications, through their example, they present a pattern of what it is to follow Jesus. And so the flock looks to that and follows them. And this is why elders play such a key role in the direction of the church and in what the church does, because the church follows the lead of its shepherds. But also let me say that they are also overseers, as Peter says here. That is, they're not to be lords over those who are in their charge. They're not to be domineering, in that there's in a real sense we're all, as Christians, volunteers. But there's also a sense that they have authority in matters of opinion and judgment. You see, the elders do not have authority in matters of doctrine, because the Lord has that. The Lord is the head of the church. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth." The elders do not decide upon doctrinal matters, but rather they have the responsibility of carrying out and seeing that the church obeys the doctrine of Christ. You see, they have the responsibility of remaining within the doctrines of Christ. But they do have authority in matters of judgment, in matters of opinion. They are to guide and lead the church, and the church should respect and follow their guidance. You see, they have a great responsibility to lead the church and lead the flock. And that leads us to this next and third point. That is, they are to care for the flock. They are to care for the flock. In the book of Acts, Paul is meeting with the elders there at Ephesus on the island of Miletus. And he tells them, and I think, a very important passage. Verse 27. "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. For pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Now the ESV version translates this to "care," which is a good translation. The King James translates it to "feed." Same concept here. We're talking about
They have the responsibility of providing nourishment, care, provision, protection, doing the work of what a shepherd would do for its sheep, for his sheep. The church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. You see, they are to feed and protect the flock. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it talks about, in one of our qualifications, that they should be apt or able to teach. And in Titus chapter 1, the Bible says that the elder must be able to hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and to rebuke those who contradict it. You see, they have a responsibility of making sure that the church is fed the spiritual word of God. This is why they have directed us to have Bible classes. This is why that we meet on Wednesday night. It's because they want to make sure that the church is fed and that the church is built up and that the church has spiritual nourishment to combat all of the secular things that we have bombarding us week to week. They want to make sure that we're instructed in the Word of God. But they also have the responsibility of protecting the flock from harmful influences and from secular influences that would lead us astray. Paul talks in chapter 20, 29 through 32, about how they needed to watch over the flock and how the flock was going to have savage wolves or fierce wolves who would come in and would not spare the flock. And even he talks about how these would even arise, it seems, from the own eldership there, speaking perverse things. The elders have the responsibility, Hebrews 13, 7, of watching out for our souls. They care for and watch out for our souls. You see, it is one of ministry. It's one of service. They provide care. And I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians, the last passage we'll go to in the New Testament. I want to go to one to close us in the Old Testament. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want you to read with me this passage. Talking about the leaders of the church who are over them in the Lord. And who, verse number 12, labor among you. Verse 13, it says that the church members, the Christians, should esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And they should be at peace among yourselves. And notice, as he talks more about the work of these leaders, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. That's what elders do in caring. They encourage the people that aren't involved to get involved. They encourage the faint-hearted, those who are weak and are struggling. They want to encourage them through the work of the church and through their examples and through their words and input. They want to encourage the faint-hearted. They want to help the weak. One of the reasons why that we do programs like Everyone Counts and why we want to be a church that loves and ministers to people is because our elders make sure we do that. That we encourage the faint-hearted. And that's why if you're struggling, they are open to you. That's the work of an elder. To minister and care for you. To encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. And be patient with them all. You see, it's the work of caring and loving and serving. You see, they care for the flock. The work of an elder is the work of a shepherd. And we're blessed with good elders who are concerned and care about this work. And we want to seek to teach these lessons so that we'll be raising up men to fulfill these positions in the future. One thing we must understand is that no one does this perfect. But we cannot use the excuse, well, just because I don't do it perfect, I can't do it. We've got to have men who aspire to this role and who want to serve in this role. Because the church needs it and requires it to be so that we can be pleasing to God and all that God would have us to do. So that we can be led the way God wants us led. I want to close by thinking about
Ezekiel chapter 34.
In Ezekiel chapter 34, he goes back to that common analogy of shepherds. And I want to close with this passage because I want you to know that shepherding and the work of a shepherd is serious business. And because shepherding is primarily about tending to and caring for the flock of God. Because God was upset here in Ezekiel when they did not do that. Beginning in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. See, they were selfish shepherds. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all my beasts, or for all the wild beasts. He talks about how the sheep were scattered. And so verse 7, therefore you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. And no longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. You see, God takes the work of shepherding very seriously. And we should, as a church as well. We should encourage our shepherds. And we should teach and encourage men to fulfill the role of a shepherd. Because we need to be guided. We need to be led. We need to be fed. And we need to have men willing to do this. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, if you're not a child of God, then please don't leave this morning without becoming a Christian. We'd be glad to talk to you about that, to teach you the gospel, to immerse you into Christ, to have your sins washed away. If you need to rededicate your life, please come as together we stand and sing.